بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. And inshallah ta'ala, between our hands today is Surah Al-Duha. And this is coming towards the end of the Qur'an now. And this is the last part of the Qur'an. And inshallah ta'ala, we'll begin by drawing the parallels between Surah Al-Duha and the Surah that came before, which is Surah Al-Layl. And they're basically 10 points. Inshallah, won't take long in them. But I just want you to listen and to focus and pay attention to see the eloquence, the beauty of the Qur'an. And this amazing aspect and miraculous aspect of the Qur'an, that everything goes with each other and that every surah is only a continuation of the surah that came before, right? And a surah is called a surah, one of its, it comes from the word su'r. And you know, su'r in the Arabic language, it means something that's left over. Like if you drink a cup that's full and then there's only halfway left of water in it, then you'll call that su'r, which means there's a bit of water left in there. A surah was called like that because by itself it stands uncontinued. By itself it stands uncontinued. It's not full. So the one before it and the one after it will continue it, and that's why it was called the surah. So now Surah Al-Duha will come and will explain to us things that came in Surah Al-Layl. And now let's draw the parallels between Surah Al-Duha and the one before it, Surah Al-Layl. The very first one is that in Surah Al-Layl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the night first, then the day. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّى. In Surah Al-Duha, we see a contrast. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the day first, which is Al-Duha, and then He mentions the night second, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. And Al-Duha is the morning light. We'll explain that when we get to it. And we'll explain also, why does Surah Al-Duha begin with the day? And why did Surah Al-Layl begin with the night? We'll also explain that inshallah when we get to it. The second parallel we find is that Surah Al-Layl, the predominant audience of Surah Al-Layl is Quraysh. They were spoken to in Surah Al-Layl. Whereas in Surah Al-Duha, the only audience is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that will be in the form of مَا وَدَّعَكَ the kaf. That's for Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. This is all going to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا, and so on. So يعني, in Surah Al-Layl, it was to Quraysh. In Surah Al-Duha, it's for the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He's being addressed. Now the third one is Surah Al-Layl. Allah Azza wa Jal concluded that surah by saying, إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى وَلَسَوْفَ يَرْضَى. Allah Azza wa Jal, He concluded Surah Al-Layl by saying that the exception of the one who seeks the pleasure of his Lord, he will truly soon be pleased, يَرْضَى, and he'll be satisfied with Allah. Who? The one seeks the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he'll be happy, he'll be pleased. In Surah Al-Duha, we learn, who is the one that seeks the pleasure of his Lord? And who is the first of creation to be pleased? That is mentioned in وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. Of course, it's the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the first of creation to seek the pleasure of his Lord. And he is the first of the creation to be pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him. And so this is وَلَسَوْفَ يَرْضَى in Surah Al-Duha, يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. Allah will give you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that you are pleased. The fourth parallel we find is that in Surah Al-Layl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He makes a promise to the one who a'ta wa-ttaqa wa-saddaqa bil-husna. The one who gives, and the one who fees, and the one who believes in Islam, Allah Azza wa Jal promises him, سَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى, that will make the path of goodness easy for him. In other words, Allah's promise to you is that you obeying Allah, I'll make it easy for you. Obeying Allah will be very easy. Now, I want you to just recall something in Surah Al-Balad, which is two surah before Surah Al-Layl. When Allah described the path of goodness, when Allah described the path of truth, the husna, He described it as being something difficult, Remember when he said فَلَقْتَحَمَ الْعَقَبَةِ, when he referred to it as Al-Aqaba. Al-Aqaba was the steep, the high path that we're all supposed to climb and get into. Allah is saying that just أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى, I'll make that easy for you. Now in Surah Al-Duha, this surah is being revealed in a time when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's basically, he's in a struggle and he's in difficulty. And Allah Azza wa Jal promises him that things will be, get better and easier. So he says, وَلَا الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. Right? The later will be better for you than the earliest. Right? And we'll sort of understand what al-akhirah, what does it mean? Is it the hereafter and this world? But for now, just understand that Allah is promising Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that later on in your life, the later part in your life will be much better than the earlier part in your life. So subhanAllah, in Surah Al-Layl, Allah promised ease for the believers, but under the condition they a'ta, give, taqa, fi, saddaqa bil husna, believe in Islam. And in Surah Al-Duha, Allah also makes a prophet to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that things will get easier. And in Surah Al-Layl, Allah made that promise to the believers that I'll make things easier. For we find that the path of ease in the two surah. The fifth parallel is that in Surah Al-Layl, Allah mentions the one who gives. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى, as for the one who gives and gives a lot. And the giving was attributed to the human being. In فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى, who should give? The human being should give. Now in Surah Al-Duha, a contrast is seen. The one who is giving is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ, your Lord will give you, right? So in Surah Al-Layl, the human being is told to give. And in Surah Al-Duha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about himself and what he gives the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another one is in Surah Al-Layl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى, to believe and to believe and to confirm in the ultimate good, in the truth. We said Al-Husna basically summarizes Islam. Well, Al-Husna is Islam. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned it in Surah Al-Layl, that he mentioned that we believe and confirm in this truth. Now in Surah Al-Duha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was seeking that truth. He was seeking that husna, and eventually Allah revealed it to him. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى, he found you seeking. He found you seeking and he guided you. Guided you to what? To Al-Husna, to Islam, and he gave you that guidance. And we'll exactly speak about ضَالًا. What's ضَالًا? Some people terribly translate it to as being that he found you misguided and he guided you, or he found you lost. So we need to really be careful in terms of what does ضَالًا mean. Although some say lost, and what they mean by this is that there is an incident in Mecca where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got lost in Mecca, and then Allah Azza wa Jal guided him. In other words, got lost in the road, and Allah guided him back to where he was supposed to come back to. But anyway, we'll elaborate on this word when we get to it, inshallah. The seventh parallel we find is that the word yughni came up in Surah Al-Layl. The word yughni comes from the word ghina. And ghina, of course, is the state in which someone needs nobody. Someone becomes independent, right? So for example, a ghani is a rich person, and he's so rich that he doesn't need anyone anymore. Surah Al-Layl said, وَمَا يُغْنِي عَنْهُ مَالُهُ إِذَا تَرَدَّى, right? Allah said, for the person that bakhila, that withheld and never gave his wealth, Allah Azza wa Jal told such a person, وَمَا يُغْنِي عَنْهُ مَالُهُ إِذَا تَرَدَّى, his wealth will not make him free of need when he falls in the ditch of the hellfire. What will his wealth benefit him when he is thrown in the hellfire? Nothing. So the wealth will not make you free of need. Basically, Allah is saying, have as much wealth as you want, but this wealth will not make you free of need. So how are we going to become free of need? What do we need? Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-Duha, وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى, he found you in a desperate state, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he made you free of need, فَأَغْنَى. So it's not money that will make you free of need, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who will make you free of need. Allah will take care of your needs and not the wealth. This is what we find in this surah, the contrast, beautiful contrast. Also another beautiful one, this is the eighth one. In Surah Al-Layl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, describing the atqa, he said, "Alladhi yu'ti ma lahu yatazakka," the one who gives his wealth to purify and cleanse himself, right? The one who gives his wealth, yu'ti ma lahu. Now, the question comes up in mind, who can I give this wealth to? Who can I give this wealth to? Surah Al-Duha, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقَرْ وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ. You can give it to the orphan and to the one that asks, السائل. The ninth parallel, that in Surah Al-Layl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us about the ultimate blessing one could ever have in his life. And this is like after the golden blessing of Islam, and after being guided upon true Islam, what is the ultimate favor and blessing one could ever have? إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى. When the ultimate blessing is when you, basically, when you do things purely for Allah's sake, right? Because there's the problem. When you do something for other than Allah's sake, it will destroy everything you have of goodness. So the ultimate blessing after Islam and being guided to true and real Islam is that you do good things for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake, ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى. And when you have this ultimate blessing in your life, when you've been blessed by doing things only for Allah Azza wa Jal's sake, then you should acknowledge that favor and you should be grateful to that favor of Allah. So Allah says in Surah Al-Duha, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. As for the favors and blessings of Allah, and the first one of them being that you do things for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake, then fahaddith, acknowledge it, speak about it, be grateful for this. The last one, and it's not the least, there's many more, but that's what I collected, the tenth one, that both surah spoke about guidance, al-huda. In Surah Al-Layl, Allah says, inna alayna lal-huda, that it is truly only upon us to give guidance. So who owns guidance? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He gives it to who He wants. In Surah Al-Duha, Allah tells us how He chose the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and gave him this gift of guidance. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. He found you seeking and He gave you this guidance and He guided you to, which we said, Al-Husna, the Islam. So these are 10. They're not limited to 10. There's many more. But this is, inshallah ta'ala, what could be understood between me and you for tonight. We move on now, before we begin with al-duha, let's speak about the layout of the surah and how it comes. It begins with two oaths, wal-duha, and then wal-layli idha saja. And this is something, of course, we've seen over and over in Juz'a Amma. A lot of times Allah Azza wa Jal begins the surah in Juz'a Amma with an oath. Wal-fajr, wal-teen, wal-layl, wal-shams, wal-asr. And it's plenty. And we said before that the purpose of the oath is to make you think and reflect and ponder. That's why they're short, right? They're short so you can have enough time to ponder and reflect. Why? What does Allah say? What does Allah want when He says wadduha, right? So that's one of the purposes. Also, another purpose we said is that Allah is preparing us for the lessons of the surah. In other words, the oaths become like an introduction to the surah. If you don't understand the introduction, the oaths, you'll not understand the remaining or the remaining lessons of the surah. Now the lesson of this surah is the favors, the ni'am that Allah Azza wa Jal gave the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. The whole lesson in this, the fundamental lesson of this surah is Allah Azza wa Jal telling us about the favors He gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Others will find يَتِيمًا فَآوَى جَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. The favors that Allah Azza wa Jal gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So inshallah ta'ala, just before we say, the lesson of Surah Al-Duha is the favors Allah gave Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and that is also the lesson for the surah after it, which is Surah Al-Sharh, Alam Nashrah Laka Sadrak, and for all the surah after that until Surah Al-Kawthar, Inna A'tainaka Al-Kawthar. And basically the last of them, which is Al-Kawthar, all these surah are going to speak about what Allah gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's concluded with Surah Al-Kawthar. And what a beautiful way to conclude it. Because basically the word Al-Kawthar is a summary of all the favors that Allah gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now we already understand that Al-Kawthar doesn't only mean the river, it means much more than a river. Because the Kawthar is going to be the one word that summarizes all the favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we get to it, we'll explain what extra meaning does it have than the river itself. So we'll explain also, inshallah ta'ala, the relevance of the oaths and what do they have to do with the lesson of the surah. وَالضُّحَى, the day, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى, the night. What does that have to do with the favors that Allah gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We'll explain that, inshallah. So basically, the layout of the surah, part one is oaths. Part two is favors. أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى وَجَدَكَ ضَالًّا فَهَدَى وَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. And part three is the conclusion of the surah. Now that you have been given all these favors, what should you do in return as a show of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How should the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be grateful? And what are we learning? That's all explained in part three. فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقَرْ وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. So basically part three is teaching us, how do we be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favors? And the first lesson is directed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How should he be grateful to the favors Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him? Okay. So now before we begin, there is something of sabab al-nuzul mentioned for Surah al-Duha, the reason of revelation. Why did Allah reveal this surah? And As-Suyuti rahimahullah, he mentions that revelation was paused for a while. It didn't come down. And you know, revelation paused three times in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Revelation discontinued three times. The first, after اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. It stopped, there was a pause, and then Allah Azza wa Jal revealed يا أيها المدثر. Then the revelation continued after يا أيها المدثر daily, maybe sometimes twice a day, nightly, whatever it is, until Surah Al-Fajr, وَلَيَالٍ عَشَرٍ. Then it stopped. And it stopped until Allah revealed this surah, Surah Al-Duha. And then the revelation continued until Surah Al-Ghashiyah. And then it stopped until Allah Azza wa Jal revealed Surah Al-Kahf. Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَى عَبْدِهِ الْكِتَابِ وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجًا. But anyway, three times the revelation paused. And so As-Suyuti rahimahullah is mentioning, what is the reason of the Nuzul? What is the reason for why this surah, Surah Al-Duha, came down? He said that the revelation paused for a while, and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was saddened. He was sad because of that, of course, because the revelation stopped, so he was sad. And some of the mushrikun, Suyuti, he says, Jamil, who is the wife of Abu Lahab, she came out and she went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and she said to him, Ma ara rabbuka illa qad wadda'aka wa qalak. She said to him, all I see is that your Lord has farewelled and has abandoned you. Qalak, right? He's unhappy with you. So then this surah was sent as a response to that comment of the mushrikun and as a response to the comment of Jamil. Another reason, Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, he records in his Musnad, he says that Jundub ibn Sufyan, radiallahu anhu, he said, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he became ill. He became sick. And he wasn't able to pray the nights for at least 2 to 3 nights. And a woman came to him and she said, Inni la arju an yakuna shaytanuka qad wadda'aka wa tarakak or qalak. She said to him, I hope that your devil, referring to Jibreel alayhi salam, I hope that your devil has finally left you because I haven't seen him come near you for 2 to 3 nights. So then Allah Azza wa Jal revealed the surah to respond to this woman who spoke these words. This was the sabab, the reason of Nuzul. Now, we should understand something before we move on to Al-Duha. And I want you to really understand this. Now, think of this. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's giving da'wah to the people. And of course, he's concerned and he cares for the guidance of all humanity. He wants everyone to enter Islam. And so we need to understand that the burden he carries is a huge burden, right? And these burdens that he carries, Allah will speak about them in Surah Al-Sharh, the surah after Al-Duha. وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ, the burdens, right? But we'll leave that for the... One of the burdens that Rasulullah ﷺ carried on his shoulders is that he was the final messenger. In other words, no one will come after him. And what does that mean? Why is it a burden? Because if he doesn't deliver the message properly, then not only Quraysh will perish and destroy, but all of humanity till the Day of Judgment will also perish and destroy, be destroyed. So when Rasulullah ﷺ is giving da'wah and the people aren't accepting, instead of him complaining that the people aren't accepting, he's consistently worried that maybe I'm doing something wrong. And he's almost continually blaming himself internally. And this is why Allah Azza wa Jal keeps reminding him that it's not your fault. You shouldn't worry. So he says to him, وَمَا عَلَيْكَ أَلَّا يَزَّكَّى. It's not your responsibility that they don't want to clean themselves up, these mushrikun. It's not a sin upon you if they don't accept Islam. ذَرْهُمْ يَأْكُلُوا. Leave them, don't worry about them. لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُسَيْطِرٍ. You're not in any authority over them. Just leave them. إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُنْذِرٍ. All you are is a warner. لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْ. You cannot guide who you want. So over and over, Allah has to tell him, you're fine, there's nothing wrong with you. You revealing and delivering the message, you're doing a top job. But don't worry about them. So don't blame yourself. So now this is the burden that Rasulullah ﷺ is feeling. And so Quraysh, they see this opportunity that the revelation has stopped. It's paused, nothing is coming to Rasulullah ﷺ, and they approach him and they make these nasty comments. So there's nothing today, no surah today, no ayah today. Oh, well, we suppose maybe your Lord is not happy with you anymore. Maybe he's going to look for someone else, you're not doing a good job. Now, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it's not like he's taking these words into consideration, giving him a real thought. But the thought starts creeping in his mind, right? Maybe he says to himself, maybe I did do something wrong, you know? Maybe I am doing something wrong, maybe that's why wahi stopped. So the Quraysh, they took that opportunity to attack Rasulullah ﷺ and create doubt in his mind. And so Allah Azza wa Jal reveals this surah to stop that and to just respond to these ideas and to these comments of Quraysh. So Allah Azza wa Jal begins, وَالضُّحَى. Allah Azza wa Jal takes an oath by الضُّحَى. الضُّحَى is a time of the day where there is significant activity. And it's after the Fajr. So pretty much the day begins with Fajr. Then there's the time of Shuruq. At the time of Fajr, people still sleeping, some are awake. Shuruq, people begin to wake up. The birds, the animals start to wake up. And then you have the third part of the day, Al-Duha. Al-Duha, this is where lots of the activity is happening. It's like the rush hour, the traffic, business is opening, right? The schools are, it's just all chaotic at this time, at the time of Duha. Life, basically it's full of life. This is what Duha is. And Allah Azza wa Jal, in several places of the Qur'an, refers to the time of Duha like this. For example, in Surah Taha, when Musa alayhi salam wanted to gather the townspeople and he wanted to show them what sign he has, and he wanted to defeat the magic of Fir'aun, what did he appoint? He said, وَأَن يُحْشَرَ النَّاسُ ضُحَى. Right? Let's gather the people at duha time, because that's when everyone is awake, that's the easiest time we can gather everyone, so then they can see my miracle versus your magic, O Fir'aun. Right? So the Qur'an already gave us the idea that duha time is a very busy time. It's a time where people gather and so on. And also this has relevance to the Day of Judgment. When we get there, inshallah, we'll explain it. So al-duha, just keep in mind al-duha, lots of activity is happening at this time. Al-duha is also the time of day in which the light of the sun is soothing. You know, the light of the sun, you see, after the duha time, the light of the sun becomes scorching. It's hot, it's intense, it's painful. But before that, it's the duha time, the light is soothing, right? It's calm, it's soothing to the light, and it's not as painful as after the duha time. So Allah Azza wa Jal, he swears by the soothing morning light, wal-duha. And that in itself is a reference to the revelation that is coming upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see, when the revelation would come down upon him, it's like the soothing morning. It brings calmness and tranquility to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just like the duha light is soothing and calming to the eye. And so We said the duha is a time full of life. So when the wahi would come down to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he'd be full of life, right? There's duha, there's light in his life. He's got revelation. Also, a duha is during the day when the light spreads. And so this ayah becomes almost a promise from Allah to His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that just as the light of duha spreads, this message will also spread. So don't worry whether he follows you or he follows you or he doesn't follow you or he disbelieves in your message. Don't worry about this. Just like the duha doesn't worry about anyone, the light spreads, this message of Islam will spread the same way. And a duha, the brightest time of the day, in other words, this deen and the tawheed of it will spread like the brightest part of the day. Now, Samarra'i, hafidhahullah, one of the contemporary mufassirun, he mentions, and he says, it's beautiful, he says, listen to this. He says, Allah swears by the duha, and by the night when it becomes still and lifeless. Wallayli idha saja. Allah added an adjective, or a describing word to al-layl, but not to the duha. But anyway, he says, Allah swears by the duha, and by the night as it becomes still and it doesn't move. He says that these times are important for the human nafs. Very important for the human nafs. And these times are opposites. Day and night, they're opposites. And they basically refer to the opposite situation people face every day. So sometimes life is easy, and sometimes it's hard. It's layl and nahar. Sometimes there's happiness, that's duha. And sometimes there's sadness, that's layl. Sometimes there's relaxation, sometimes there's pain. And you might ask, why isn't there always ease and relaxation and happiness? Why couldn't there always be that? But if you reflect, you'll learn that the night when it becomes totally still, when it's sajda, like in a few hours it becomes sajda, really, really still, you'll understand that it's a time that all creation, animals and human beings, get a chance to rest and sleep. And that's an important part of life. To go through darkness in the night, it's an important part of life. So what we're learning is that going through hard times in life is actually a part of life. It must be there in order for life to be complete. And we must go through difficulty because there is some good. And we must go through this difficulty in life because there are some good qualities and there are good personalities inside of ourselves that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put inside of us that we will never ever experience nor develop until they are put in difficult situations. For example, sabr. Sabr. If life was always easy, well, you'll never learn and appreciate what sabr is. So sabr will only develop, will only mature, will only manifest when you are put in a difficult situation. The other example, shukr, gratitude, right? Only when something is taken away from you or from others that you become more grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with what you have. So when you go through a difficult situation, you'll understand what shukr means. You go through a difficult situation, you'll understand what sabr means. And so therefore, subhanallah, the duha is the soothing and comfortable. The duha is soothing and it's comfortable. And it's basically alive, it gives life. And the night is dark, it's still, it's motionless. But both have a role to play. And the human works at day and he rests at night. You need both of them in your life, right? And we only appreciate the day because of the night. And we only appreciate the night because of the day. So, if you've slept enough during the night, then you look forward to the day. You appreciate the day. And when you're tired and you've had a really busy day, you look forward to the night, therefore you appreciate the night. So just think of now the duha as being the easy part in life, and the layl as being the most difficult parts in life, and then tie them back to the night and the day, the same way you need day and night to function, and that is the optimum, and that's the best for the human being to have the day and the night, then also you will not be complete as a human being unless you have ease in your life and you have difficulty in your life. And this is why we'll see this lesson when Allah Azza wa Jal says to the Messenger, وَلَا الْآخِرَةَ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَىٰ. He already acknowledges that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had difficulty And then that difficulty was translated and was transferred, moved into being something easy in his life. So, what duha? Referring obviously to the revelation, as we said. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. Two more ayat, inshallah. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. And I swear by the night when it is still, when it is dark, when it darkens. إِذَا سَجَى. You know, in other surah in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal, He described the night using other verbs. So, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا عَسْعَسْ, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَسْرْ, وَاللَّيْلِ وَمَا وَسَقْ. So many other words were used for the layl. Here, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. So why is سَجَى the best word used to describe the layl in this surah? Let's answer that. In all the other words, there is motion. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى. I swear by the night as it covers, covering. In other words, there is motion. يَسَرْ. لَيْلِ إِذَا يَسَرْ. As it departs, there's motion, something moving. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا عَسْعَسْ. As it arrives or as it departs as well, there's movement. وَاللَّيْلِ وَمَا وَسَقْ. As it gathers by with its darkness, it gathers everything so that you can't tell the difference between two things. The night gathers things. That's emotion, that's action. All those words that describe the layl were words of what? Of motion, something moving. What's the difference between those and the word سَجَى? سَجَى, literally, it means for something to be still, motionless, no movement, cut off. For example, they would say سَجَى الْمَيِّتْ. They would refer to the dead person, they'd refer to him as سَجَى الْمَيِّتْ. That the corpse was still, doesn't move. Or someone's dead, he doesn't move. Or they say لَيْلٌ سَاجِنْ. When you describe the night as سَاجِنْ, it means that the night has become completely motionless. Not even a leaf is moving. So now, why does سَجَى come in the surah? Because the theme of the surah is when revelation paused, when it stopped, when it was cut off, when it was motionless, when it came to an end. Right? And so the best word to describe the night would be سَجَى in this surah, because it comes with the theme of the surah, which is speaking about the revelation being paused. And remember, or now we'll say that the layl is actually referring to that pause of revelation. For subhanAllah, how the perfect word choice came in the ayah. So the mufassirun, basically they said that the duha represents the light of revelation, and the layl, it represents the pause of revelation, when it stopped, when it سَجَى. So, subhanAllah, the thing we need to answer now is, why did Allah mention the day first and the night second? He said وَالضُحَى first, then He said وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى, as opposed to Surah Al-Layl, He began with وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى, وَالنَّهَارِ second, إِذَا تَجَلَّى. You know, we did answer that for Surah Al-Layl. For those who can remember or can't remember, I'll mention it quickly. Allah began Surah Al-Layl with Al-Layl because basically it was the sixth surah of the Quran to be revealed. And the sixth surah, meaning that the space in Mecca was still in kufr, was still in darkness. So it began with Al-Layl, describing the situation, the current situation of Mecca. It was Layl. This surah, it began with what, duha, because what began first? Revelation. So because revelation began first, a duha came. And then what happened second? That the revelation came to a halt, it stopped. There was a pause on the revelation that came second. So وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى came second. Now Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says after this, مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. This is a beautiful ayah. And inshallah ta'ala we'll conclude with this ayah. But please pay attention with this ayah so you can see the brilliance in how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eloquently gives comfort to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we're getting to the point. مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. Remember the mushrikun and Jamil and that lady that came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did they say to him? They said to him, we see that your Lord has farewelled you. He's abandoned you. He's unhappy with you. He's displeased with you. So now Allah Azza wa Jal responds to such people with this ayah. مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. وَدَّعَكَ. Let's just take the translation of the ayah, then we'll work it piece by piece. مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. Basically, Allah is saying to His Messenger that your Lord, He never ever farewelled you, and He never was unhappy, and He wasn't unhappy. We'll stop at that. Okay. مَا وَدَّعَكَ. The word وَدَّعَكَ, it comes from two words, which both, they have two different meanings. وِدَاعَ and تَوْدِيعَ. وَدَّعَكَ comes from وِدَاعَ and تَوْدِيعَ. وِدَاعَ basically means to say goodbye to someone, to farewell someone. But وِدَاعَ means that you're farewelling him temporarily. In other words, think of it, someone is at the airport with a return ticket. You're saying to him goodbye, and he's going to come, he'll go and he's coming back. He's got a return ticket. That's وِدَاعَ. تَوْدِيعَ, it's to permanently, finally say goodbye to someone. So when someone is at the airport with a one-way ticket, that would be تَوْدِيعَ, goodbye, and you'll never see him again after this. Allah Azza wa Jal, He uses the word مَا وَدَّعَكَ. وَدَّعَكَ is not coming from وِدَاعَ, it's coming from the word تَوْدِيعَ, which means what the permanent farewell. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says مَا وَدَّعَكَ. In other words, what He's saying to him that your Lord has not farewelled you forever. He did not say goodbye to you forever. مَا وَدَّعَكَ. Now there are two ways you could say this in the Arabic language. You could either say لَمْ يُوَدِّعْكَ رَبُّكَ, or you could say مَا وَدَّعَكَ, like what Allah said. What is the difference between them? They both mean the same. What's the difference? You see, لَمْ and مَا. The difference is that مَا, it negates the past, but there's more emphasis in the word مَا. So I'll give you this from the examples I gave you. لَمْ يُوَدِّعْكَ would mean he did not farewell you. مَا وَدَّعَكَ would mean he did not farewell you at all. Right? There's emphasis with the word مَا. And similarly, you read مَا وَدَّعَكَ. It's got that alif to emphasize that he did not farewell you at all. They don't even get this idea to even creep in your mind at all. He never farewelled you. مَا وَدَّعَكَ. So subhanAllah, the word مَا teaches us the love Allah Azza wa Jal had for His Messenger, that He is comforting him. He's saying, no, not at all. It never ever even happened. Right? So He tells him, مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. The other thing with the word تَوْدِيعَ. تَوْدِيعَ, which is farewelling, saying goodbye to someone, it only happens between two people that love each other. So تَوْدِيعَ happens between family, it happens between friends. It doesn't happen between enemies, right? You don't say وَدَّعَ الْعَدُو, he farewelled the enemy. You don't say that. تَوْدِيعَ only happens between two that love each other, right? So in other words, if someone leaves the enemy, he تَرَكَ الْعَدُو, right? He left the enemy, not farewelled. You don't say that. So the word وَدَّعَكَ, it already indicates Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love and honor for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because tawdi' happens between what? Two parties that there's love in between. So already by Allah saying ma wadda'aka, He's already told him that there's love and that I love you. Right? So ma wadda'aka rabbuka. Allah could have said ma tarakaka rabbuk. But saying that, then they would have meant that there's some sort of enmity. But he said, مَا وَدَّعَكَ, to give us the understanding, and to give the understanding to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, that Allah has love for you, Ya Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and you also have love for Him. مَا وَدَّعَكَ. So now how would we translate مَا وَدَّعَكَ? He did not even lovingly abandon you at all. There's the brilliance in the ayah. Now, we're coming to the second or the third word in the surah, in the ayah. مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ. Allah didn't say مَا وَدَّعَكَ Allah. Allah did not bid you farewell. He said مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ. Which one has more mercy? رَبُّكَ or Allah? رَبُّكَ. Why? رَبُّكَ, it comes from the word تَرْبِيَة. What's تَرْبِيَة? تَرْبِيَة is when the upbringing of a child. You know, when the mother, she makes تَرْبِيَة to her child, it's always with lots of love and care, right? Because she's upbringing a child. So the word Rabb, it consists of this mercy and of this love of Allah that no other name of Allah includes. Rabb is the biggest word, the most comprehensive word that speaks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love and care. So مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ. Rabb, meaning He's your Lord, your carer, your provider. He took care of you. And that's why all the prophets, when they made dua, they all said, Rabb, they began with Rabb. Rabbi shrah li sadri. You know? Rabbi habli min ladunka waliya. Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Rabbana atina rabbana di. Right? Because the word Rabb, it contains this mercy and this love. That يعني, this is the only appropriate way to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basically, He's your Rabb. He takes care of you. Why would He farewell you? مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ. And you know how beautiful this will come into with the surah when Allah mentions أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا. He logically explains to Rasulullah that no way He could have ever farewelled you. You know, you are an orphan and He took care of you. Why is He going to farewell you right now? You know, in an even more desperate situation, He took care of you. So not at all, don't even think about this. مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ. Your Lord never ever at all lovingly farewelled you. Okay, then Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, وَمَا قَلَى, وَمَا قَلَى. And He's not displeased at all. He's not unhappy at all. The word qala, when you're unhappy with someone and you don't speak to him anymore, that's qala. And the word qala is used for enemies. When there's enemies, you use the word qala, right? Qala, for example, sahibahu, a friend of his, qala. In other words, he became unhappy with him and he doesn't talk or communicate with him anymore. Now, subhanAllah, what I want you to focus on is the word وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. Allah didn't say وَمَا قَلَاكَ. He said مَا وَدَّعَكَ. He did not farewell you. But when it came to the word قَلَى, He didn't say قَلَاكَ. And He isn't unhappy with you. He didn't mention you. Right? Why? Because the word وَدَّعَ, it's a positive term. Wadda is a positive term because it's farewell that happens between two friends and two that love each other. So when it was a positive term, Allah mentioned Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with it. Kaf ma wadda'aka. That's all right. But the word qala, to be displeased and unhappy, that's a negative term. And Allah subhanahu, and it could happen between enemies. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want to ascribe and put the kaf of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to this word that has a negative meaning. Otherwise, qalaka would mean that there was enmity between Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but He didn't do that. Subhanallah. So, ma wadda'aka rabbuka wa ma qala. The absence of the kaf with qala, this is to honor the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this proves the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah. So Allah didn't mention His Messenger kaf in the same word that means displeased and unhappy. Qala, the other thing in qala is that it's open. It's open. وَمَا قَلَى. He was and he did not, and he's not displeased. The question is displeased with who and what's the story? It's just qala is just open, right? And the mufassirun, and I've told you this before, they say يعني, when it's open, there's tawassu' fil ma'na. When it's open and it's not qualified to an object or something, then that means the scope is open. So what does it mean that وَمَا قَلَى, and Allah is not displeased, He's and He is not unhappy? Since He did not say He's not displeased with you, He kept it open, it becomes general, it means He's not displeased with you, He's not displeased with the companions, nor is He displeased with your efforts in da'wah, etc. Right? So it opens it. وَمَا قَلَى, He is not displeased with anything that involves you, your companions, your da'wah work, and everything else that I'm pleased with, right? Subhanallah. So the fact that it's open, it meant that Allah Azza wa Jal is happy with everything Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam involves himself in. Subhanallah. The mercy and the beauty in this ayah, and how Allah responds to Quraysh with this ayah. And this no doubt brings duha to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam's heart. It brings a soothing, calm effect on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now I'll conclude with this. How does this relate to the oaths? How does this ayah, مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى, how does it relate to الضحى والليل إذا سجى? You see, الضحى is what? Busy time, right? Busy time, الضحى. الليل is what? Resting time, peaceful time. And you know, after the night, there's always another busy day. There's always another duha ahead. So مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. In other words, you're taking a rest now. There's no revelation now. And you'll be prepared and you'll be ready to take on a new busy day of wahi, and that is a duha again, right? So that's the relevance of يعني, this compared to the oaths that Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying to His Messenger. Now you're taking a rest now. Now there's layli idha saja, it's stopped. But always after the layl there's a duha. And so now the message has stopped so that you can be prepared and be ready to take on a new busy day the next morning of wahi, which already we said a duha refers to wahi. مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى وَلَا الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. InshaAllah ta'ala, we'll explain that next week and why we have to keep it for next week, because the subject matter is going to take long. In terms of, we need to explain, this we'll do next week inshaAllah ta'ala. وَلَا الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. What is the Akhirah? Some said the Akhirah is the hereafter. Some said the Akhirah is the later part of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life. Al-Ula, some said it's the dunya, some said it's the earlier part of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life. We're going to have to study that يعني based on the two opinions. And then if it is the hereafter and the and this world, then how does that refer to al-duha wal-layli idha saja? InshaAllah ta'ala, that'll be for next week. Al-duha, we will find next week that al-duha refers, it could either be referring to the hereafter or this life. And al-layl could also refer to the hereafter and this life. We'll take it one by one inshaAllah, and we'll see what kind of relevance does it have with the ayah, وَلَا الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. And we'll also discuss, وَلَا سَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى, that Allah will give the messenger. But what did He give him, right? What's this عطاء that Allah Azza wa Jal gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until he became pleased, right? So this inshaAllah ta'ala, we'll explain it. And bi-ithnillah, we'll try to conclude also the surah next week, because the whole subject matter becomes very interesting to understand. And we'll aim for that inshaAllah ta'ala next week. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.